Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, best-selling publisher Linda Joy, also publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. I can't believe we're coming up on 13 years of inspiring women to live from the inside out, to believe in the power of possibility, and to open their hearts to miracles. On this show, I'm really passionate about bringing you women in conversations that inspire those same things I just mentioned, to just inspire you to open up your mind and your heart to new ideas, to miracles. And today's conversation, I am really excited about. During a bicycle ride, Nancy Rhines was struck and almost killed by an SUV driven by a texting driver. During surgery to repair her traumatized spine, Rhines, a scientist and atheist, died on the operating table and was transported to a heavenly realm where she experienced love, beauty, and spiritual wisdom on a grand scale. We're going to be talking with Nancy today about that and so much more. Let me officially introduce her. Nancy is a leading voice for personalizing the wisdom of near-death experiences, or NDEs, developing our heart-centered intuition, and living a life of inspiration and creativity. And isn't that what we all want? She is the author of Awakenings from the Light, 12 Life Lessons from a Near-Death Experience, which I recently highlighted in Aspire Mag's Top 10 Inspiring Books. She was recently featured on the Today Show. Nancy is known for her inspiring keynote speeches, workshops, and presentations on how to live a more purposeful, joyful, and heaven-inspired life. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I am so excited for this conversation. It's something I've always, I think we all wonder, you know, what's on the other side. And what I think really attracted me to you, your book, and your message is you've lived both worlds, right? You lived not even believing on the other side until you, right. A personal experience was like, and for me, hearing that side of, and I don't like the word non-believer, right? But that was your experience. That was your system of how you operated from before, and then look what happened. So why don't you take us back to that time that, sorry to bring it up, but the traumatic time, because I think that's where the story begins with your accident.
Yeah, well, you know, during, that was about actually just 5 years ago now that the accident itself happened. And, you know, just in the few months before that, I was still working in the scientific arena. It was actually scientific software that I was working on. So I was still, you know, in that on a daily basis, and I was still really on the fence about anything spiritual. And, but my life was feeling hollow. You know, there was a, I knew there was something missing. I just didn't know what it was. And I would find out, you know, soon enough. But so I went out. I was, at that point, I was living in actually near Boulder, Colorado. And then in the winter time, winters there are oftentimes very beautiful. So it was a beautiful, warm, sunny day. I went out for a bike ride, as you alluded to in the intro, and was struck broadside by a woman who was texting while she was driving. And, you know, during the accident itself, it was one of those surreal things that it's hard for anyone, I think, to really wrap their brains around it until it happens to them. And hopefully it won't happen to any of your listeners, because it in an instant, everything changed. It was you know, absolutely nothing I felt at that time that I had control over. But what I noticed, if it would, you know, during the accident, not only was it, you know, a bodily trauma, all of that, it wasn't physically painful, but I was certainly in a lot of fear and mental trauma. What I noticed is I had an experience of my consciousness, even at that point, being bumped basically outside of my body. And it was as if my soul was knocked out of my physical body. And I was experiencing the accident from two places at the same time. And that was my first indication that maybe what I learned the last 20 years as a scientist isn't quite right. Because I was able to actually see everything that was happening and feel it, but from a completely different, like higher self kind of perspective. You know, that.
So was it an instant knowing in that moment, like, or did that acknowledgement of there is something different unfold over time, or was it almost immediate that, like, you recognized it immediately that something more is here?
The way that I kind of remember it is that I recognized that something was really different, and that if I think about this too hard, it's going to completely blow my world apart. I remember thinking that, like, whoa, this is really big stuff. I've not been prepared for this. I don't know what that's all about, so I'm not going to deal with it right now because I've got other things to worry about. So I had that glimpse of what, you know, our higher self or our soul feels like and how it experiences the world, how it experiences reality. I got to experience that during the accident. And then, you know, as soon as the paramedics arrived and started working on me, that's when, you know, everything came back into my body and I was, you know, back to normal. But I had that little glimpse and I knew at some point I would have to deal with it, but I just didn't want to deal with it right then. It was just, you know, a little bit too much at that point.
And not only were you traumatized during the accident, but you were brought to the hospital, of course, and actually died on the operating table.
Right.
And when, you know, in the intro I mentioned that you were transported to a heavenly realm. What was it like? Were you above your body? Like we read everywhere, like I could see them operating on me. So what was the actual experience like?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people describe those experiences where they're floating in the room or they're going through a tunnel. And actually, the research on it shows that only about 30 to 40% of people experience things like that. They're totally valid, but not everybody experiences those types of things. So what I saw and felt was, you know, I was injected with the anesthesia. The crazy thing is that I was brought into the OR completely conscious, so I got to see the whole thing. And then they injected me with the general anesthesia and all the other, you know, drugs that go along with that. And what I noticed is that as soon as I started to drift off, I didn't go into like that gray state of unconsciousness that is typical of surgery. You know, surgery is meant to, or anesthesia is meant to shut down your consciousness completely. I didn't go there. What I experienced is that I woke up, and I woke up standing up on a hillside in a very beautiful location with not only like a physical sense of a visual place, but also like an energetic sense that something was really different about where I was, because I could feel like things coming, like energy coming through me that I knew was what I call divine love or universal love that was coming through me. And it was as if I didn't really fully exist as a physical being. Like I was energy too. So this energy was coming through me. And I was a part of it. But at the same time, I did have a a sense of a body at the same time. And I could feel peace and acceptance coming through me again as an energy form. But around me, I had a perception of I was standing up in a meadow, like on a hillside with trees in the distance and what looked like mountains and you know, a bright, brilliant sky that was almost like a pearly blue. It wasn't really blue like here on Earth. It was more of a glowing light blue, like a pearlescent shimmer to it. And I noticed that there was tendrils of what I describe as just universal energy or just energy running through everything that I saw. So it wasn't that I would just see a tree, but I would see a tree. Underneath that tree would be several other layers of like life force or energy that was coursing through the tree. And that's, I knew then at that point that something was different. This wasn't normal for surgery, because I'd had surgeries before. And I began to think, I wonder if I died on the operating table, because I knew that I was on the operating table. I knew that I was, you know, having titanium rods put in my back so I could walk again. But then I began to wonder, well, this is so different from what it should be that I thought I died. And then the second thought that I had immediately, and again, I didn't voice this out loud. It was an internal thing. Well, if I did die, then why am I here in a place like this? Because I don't believe in anything.
Whoa. What a, that's,
yeah,
that's a deep question. And it's so funny, I'm hearing that you were between both worlds, because your mind could still register the operation was going on. So that's the conscious, right? That's the linear. Yeah. But at the same time, you were aware of so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, this was an in-between realm. It wasn't the full-on spiritual state, whatever you want to call the terminology for that. You know, I call it the divine realms or the spiritual realms or spiritual home or something like that works for me. But I wasn't fully energetically there, but I also wasn't energetically here in the physical anymore. There was an in-between transition phase that I was in. And It is, you're still, at least for me, I was still aware of the body. I was still attached to the body, but at the same time, I was also beginning to really get a glimmer or to latch on to that spiritual realm as well. And you know, and this in-between state is a natural thing for anyone that passes over. You have to, when you transition from physical life, you have some amount of time, whatever time means. It doesn't really mean anything there, but you have an amount of time where you reflect on your life, where you let go of your attachment to the physical, where you prepare, you know, to kind of move on if you need to prepare. So that's where I was. I was in this, the middle ground, you know, between the physical energy levels and the spiritual energy levels.
This is so interesting to me. And so just the way you're describing it is so beautiful. When we come back from our first break, I wanted to talk about the question that so many people are asked, you know, like, did you go towards the light? Did you want to come back, you know, and back into your body? And as you just described, and we'll talk about that after our break, is you said you were still connected to your body. So let's dive deeper into that when we come back. And I'll be back in a moment with Nancy Rines of nancyrines.com, the author of Awakenings from the Light, 12 Life Lessons from a Near-Death Experience. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is Nancy Rines, a former scientist and atheist who passed away on the operating table, was transported to a heavenly realm where she experienced love, beauty, and spiritual wisdom on a grand scale. And today we're talking about the lessons, the principles that she learned on the other side, how her life has transformed in the last 5 years since all of this, because as you can imagine, that's a big life shift, a big shift in beliefs. So Nancy, prior to the break, you were sharing the experience of still being connected to your body and being in between both worlds. So is that different from those we hear or all the TV shows show that you went to the light and you didn't want to come back? Did you have any of those feelings?
Oh,
or was
yeah.
Was it different for you? Okay. I was really curious about that.
Yeah, you know, I had the knowledge of my family, especially my daughter, but there was a, because I was beginning to really fully transition, I think, into that spiritual viewpoint, and I will get into it in a little bit, but I did have a female teacher or mentor that showed up. You know, she indicated to me that my daughter would be okay without me if I really, you know, did end up dying for real. But I knew that she would be okay, but she was the only thing that was the question mark for me. Like, do I really want to continue on? Now, I did not.
How old was she, Nancy, at that time?
Oh,
child or adult?
She was 13 at the time, so she was, just beginning her teen years, and that was one of the reasons I was a little bit hesitant, as you could imagine, about completely, you know,
staying where you were.
Yeah, although there was a part of me that really wanted to stay because I knew that that was home. And it was so traumatizing spiritually for me to think about coming back here. In that moment, I did not want to deal with the physical trauma that I knew my body had gone through. And that was my big hurdle, was I don't want to go back to a body that's busted into pieces and that maybe I'm not going to be able to walk again, even after the surgery. There was no guarantee that I'd be able to walk. And I was kind of whiny, really, a little bit, like, I don't want to go back and deal with that stuff. It's just too big.
And this is so perfect.
Exactly. But at the same time, when my teacher came in and showed herself to me, she said, well, you've already agreed that you would go back. You've already.
So what did that mean in that in another time when you your soul came into your body? You already knew that this was going to happen and had agreed to have the experience. Is that what it means?
Sort of, yeah. Let me explain that a little bit more. So she showed me an image of before I was born. I met with my spiritual teachers and the divine. You know, some people call that God. I tend to call it spirit or the divine presence. And with all of my spiritual friends. And I kind of laid out some of the things that I wanted to experience. And then I also agreed to do certain tasks to benefit not only myself, but the people around me. So there were things I wanted to learn. There were ways that I wanted to help out. There were two sets of things I kind of agreed to do. And this, having this experience, I agreed to do this only if by the time I reached, you know, whatever it was when I was 46, if I hadn't made the shift into a spiritual life by then I would have this accident NDE and come back and teach about it, you know, teach myself first of all, and then teach my family about it. I had had a couple of opportunities earlier on in my life, not near-death experiences, but other spiritual experiences that I had, and I turned my back on what they meant to me, and I went back into being an atheist. So I had had two opportunities to make the spiritual shift, and I walked away from both of them. So that set me up for, okay, well, you didn't get it the first couple of times. Now we're really going to, you know, make sure that you make the shift with this accident. Right.
I call them the cosmic 2x4s. I've been a slow learner my life, and I'm like, you didn't listen when it, you know, flicked you on the ear or tapped you aside the head. You wait for the 2x4, right? The cosmic
right.
2x4. So Nancy, what were your injuries, and how fast did you heal? Especially since you had this energy shift in the process.
That's a really great question. I had a cracked pelvis, and I had some internal bleeding in my pelvic region, which resolved on its own quite quickly. I had 5 broken ribs on my left side, and of course, a bunch of bruised ribs on my right, which is where I was impacted. But my left ribs were, each one was broken in multiple places. So it wasn't just a, you know, clean break. It was like, I think each rib was broken in 3 places just because of the way I fell. And then my left collarbone was broken. Again, when your shoulder hits the pavement, that's not unusual for that to happen. And I had a partially collapsed lung on my left side, and it was punctured, obviously, and then it partially collapsed. And a cracked sternum, which I've heard is really tough to do. It's a pretty strong bone. I didn't realize how strong it was, but it must have been a really bad hit to that to make it crack. And then the worst of the trauma was really to my spine. So I had 5 vertebrae in my neck that were fractured in multiple places. And I think it was 4 in my lower, like my lumbar region of my lower back that were, again, broken in multiple places. And then I had a lot of those little, they call them transverse processes that come off the spine. A lot of those were cracked and broken as well, just from being
dragged. And how fast did you heal and get back to your life?
Yeah, that was crazy. So I healed my bones. I was out of my casts in 4.5 weeks.
Oh, my God. That alone is miraculous. I've had family members that have traumatic injuries and know the process. Do you feel that part of that was a spiritual healing to get you back out there to get this message out? Is that why you feel there was an accelerated healing?
Yeah, I believe so. And part of what I've seen with other people who have had experiences similar to this is that they oftentimes heal very quickly. It's partially just being a really reawakened to that higher energetic state of the spiritual realm. part of it was that my spiritual teacher, while I was there during my experience, did a healing on an energetic healing on me. So I think that helped too. I think I brought that back with me.
I believe that there's so many layers to this beautiful story. And when you were in heaven, the guy had appeared, but did you see anyone else, like family members or, you know, friends or anyone that's passed in your life? I've always been curious about that.
I did not. And what my teacher told me when I asked about that, because I really wanted to see my sister. I had a sister that predeceased me, my dad, and I had some family friends. I really wanted to see them. And she indicated that, well, for what you're going to go through and with how much you want to stay here, seeing them would just make it too hard to go back.
Okay. So there's a reason. Yeah, I was just curious about that.
Yeah. So I still wish that I had seen them, but in there was a part of me that was kind of glad that I didn't have that, you know,
that connection to them, because that would be hard to leave.
Yeah.
And you know what we'll do? Because I want to dive into some of the key principles that you learned while you're on the other side. And let's take our break now, right? And then when we come back, let's dive into that. That way we can be fully focused, because I really want to share some of the lessons and principles that you came back with. But also I want to know more about how you start to integrate this new belief system, because everyone at work, family, are like atheist scientist, and then here comes, you know, the new version of Nancy. So we'll talk about that in a moment. I'll be back in a moment with Nancy Rines of nancyrines.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, How Loving Yourself Creates Ripples of Transformation in Your Relationships and the World, Marcy Shymoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com. and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Nancy Rines, the author of Awakenings from the Light, 12 life lessons from a near-death experience. Oh, come on, there got to be some juicy principles, because you, as you shared, you were told that you had already agreed to this and that you would come back and teach. So were those downloaded to you, these principles that you're going to share, during that time, or did they just unfold over the last few years since your accident?
Well, the way that it was told to me was actually during the NDE itself. So I felt like I was there with my teacher for 2 to 3 months. And it was like what I call a semester on the other side. And it was one teaching after another, as if I was in school. But my school was this place that I was in, the state of being that I was in. And so what she did is she took me around. We walked and talked, and she taught. It was sort of like what I describe in my book. It was sort of like in one of the Star Wars movies where Yoda is teaching. I'm totally blanking on his name now. Teaching Luke about the Force, you know.
And Star so they Wars, were walking. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they were, you know, walking around the planet there, which I can't remember the name of, but this is what it was like. So she was walking me around heaven, or, you know, my little corner of the spiritual world, and teaching me different things in different locations, and kind of using the backdrops of wherever we were to help reinforce these teachings that I was getting. You know, kind of an example of that was she took me to a place up in the mountains, what looked to be up in the mountains, and it was a pond, just a normal, you know, small pond up in the mountains with trees around. And she asked me to just kneel down and touch the surface of the pond and see what happens. And I have kind of an attitude, at least by this point I did, because I was getting a little bit punchy, I think, with a lot of stuff I was learning. And I said, well, I know what's going to happen. We're going to have ripples that are going to go across the pond. And she looked at me and she said, just do it. So I did it. And I sat back. I remember sitting back on my heels and being totally amazed at what I saw and experienced. And what I saw was, of course, you know, the ripples that went out from my interaction with the surface of the pond. But on top of those ripples, she was teaching me that A, my actions, meaning like in this example, touching the surface of the pond, my actions have a ripple effect on the world around me. No matter what that action is, it has both a physical and a spiritual component to it. And it goes out from me, whatever it is that I do, whether it's positive or negative, or, you know, out of love or out of fear, all of that ripples out from me. But on top of that, she also showed what I call like mini YouTube videos all across the surface of the pond, where I had interacted with other people in my life, or even not particularly friends or family, but just people, and how my interactions in that moment affected them. And so there was an example of this is I don't know which store it was, but I went into a grocery store at Christmas time one year, and the clerk was very frazzled. It was a busy day. People were cranky, you know, customers were going through left and right. It was a tough day for her. And I got up to where she was checking me out, and I just looked at her and I said, thank you so much for just being here doing this. And the look on her face was just one of bright gratitude, and it was so nice to see that on her face. But not only could I see that she reacted positively, I could feel her gratitude from as if I was inside of her. So I was able to feel her feelings from my actions. And I got a sense of how very viscerally, how my actions truly do impact other people, because I could feel it in that moment.
What a beautiful message to come back with, and I believe that to be so true. You know, that's why it's so important to be conscious and intentional with every interaction, whether it's a grocery store clerk or the ones we love. But that was a must have been a divine validation that there is a ripple effect, even when you're not consciously attempting to make a ripple, right? It's just in the way we interact.
It is. Every moment. I've come to realize that as well over the last 5 years. Every moment is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to have a positive interaction with someone else. That doesn't mean that you personally have to come away taking something from that. You can also be the giver, you know, bringing in positive energy to a situation, to another person. And it's a privilege at some level, you know, but it took me, I would say the last 3 or at least 3.5 years to get to that point where I realized, wow, I can be conscious in every moment, not just a few here and there, but every moment in everything I do and say, and how that affects other people.
And what a life lesson to be sharing with others, you know, now. So what are some of the key principles that you learned?
Well, the basic one that I really needed to learn was just the importance of love. And I don't mean like just romantic love or the love you have for your child or a pet, but I mean just compassion on a grand scale, love on a grand scale, treating people with kindness and respect. All of that is a part of love. And the teaching of love really is learning that the energy of the universe really is tied together with this loving intent, with this loving energy. That is the core foundation of what I understand anyway as the universe. And we exist in that field of love even here and now in the physical plane. It isn't just reserved for when we die. You know, that's part of the here and now in the physical. And that one is such a big, I mean, that opens up huge, huge avenues of discussion and learning just in that teaching alone. And if that's all people take away from this is learning how to be a little bit more kind to not only other people in your life, but yourself as well, because you deserve the love that you give out to others. You deserve that same amount every day. And we oftentimes don't give that to ourselves.
Oh, it's so true. Especially I find as women, we're always, it's almost like we're programmed to put everyone else first. So self-compassion, kindness has to begin with us, right? So we can create the ripple.
Right. Yeah, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't really effectively take care of other people. So that was a huge one for me. That was learning to really, truly love and appreciate the gift that I have in my own life, my own self, that was big. Some other ones that kind of, I mean, they all tie together. No one of these really exists in isolation. But another one that's strongly tied into that is the importance of gratitude. And I don't mean the sense of gratitude that's oftentimes used in the manifestation circles where you're giving out like fake gratitude in order to get something back.
No, I live this energy. It is a part of you. It's an energy that like a butterfly can fly by you and you are so tapped in to that moment that you're in such deep appreciation. To me, that's gratitude.
Like, it is.
It's an energy and an essence, not a thing that you do.
Right, exactly. But I
had to find that in my own life. That's the only reason I can really understand what you said, because I used to think, I'm grateful. Yeah, of course I'm grateful. But over the last 20 years, I dove deep into that principle, and I really get what you mean. Do you find that when you explain it, do people get that, or are they still in the, they come back with, I am grateful, but not really get it?
Some people get it. Most people, it takes a little while for them to really, truly get it. When I do workshops around the country, there are exercises that I use to help people really get what this is. It involves a lot of like contemplation. When I teach people how to go, look, for example, you would go into a quiet state and think about a situation in your life where someone helped you out greatly. And just try to dive into that as much as you can and feel through it. How would your life have been different if that person hadn't stepped in? And it may have been, it may be something like the birth of a child or someone who helped you, I don't know, overcome a huge loss in your life or a time of grief. But what I try to teach people is to find a kernel of a place in your life where you can allow, you can plant that seed and allow it to blossom. And dive into that as much as you can. For some people, it takes some practice in order to get there where they can really begin to feel it. That type of gratitude really is, like you said, it's a deep appreciation. It's another form of love. It's getting out of the head of it. Of, you know, you think about gratitude in your head, and that's where you're like, oh, yeah, of course I'm grateful. That's head gratitude. That's not heart gratitude.
Exactly. It's a perfect description of how I felt when I transitioned over to the heart, right? It's part of what feeds everything I do with my book publishing company and the mag and this show. It's like I want to create my own ripple of love and gratitude.
And you're doing it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's what you coming back with all these wisdom and insights and these principles, I believe, is so you could bring it back, because now more than ever, isn't this, that's just two principles you shared with us. Those are two key principles that the world needs now more than ever.
Right. Yeah. Right? We focus on the divisions right now. And one of the things I was told, at least for myself, this was just a message for my own self. It was me. I was coming back to be one, to be a bridge, to allow people to see across those gaps and walk across those gaps between different parts of society. And right now we need bridges more than we need walls. You know, we need a lot more bridges. And if what I talked about can help bridge some of those gaps, I'm all for it, because that's what we need. And it isn't just love. It isn't just gratitude. It's things like you just alluded to, learning to listen to the voice in your heart, using your heart as a guide instead of your headspace all the time.
And learning to trust it, right? Because so many of us, I'm blessed, I serve so many heart-centered visionary clients, right? And the one thing that I love about the clients I attract to me is they're leading from their heart, even when it freaking feels uncomfortable and scary, and their linear logical mind is like, you're going to do what? They know that it's the next step on their path, kind of like you, right? You came back. You could have, I don't want to say you could have easily gone back into the other energy and thinking, because I don't think that was possible for you. That's just because the shift was so deep and internal for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I still had the option to, you know.
Yeah, you had the option when you came back that you mean you could have made the decision to go back into the belief system that you always had that would have made life probably a hell of a lot easier.
On the surface, but I believe that my heart would have been crying out in pain. And
I definitely feel it would have. When we're not living aligned with our soul truth, the outside world may say, oh, she's back to normal, but inside you're dying.
Yeah.
I've lived that in a different way. We're going to take our last break and we come back. I would love to have you share some tips and tools that we can use today in our own lives. And I'll be back in a moment with Nancy Rhines of nancyrhines.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you ready to become a true creator in your life? Bryna Haines, best-selling author, alchemist, and personal evolution expert,
created the Choose Your Evolution Project to help mission-driven entrepreneurs, changemakers, and influencers like you live into their dreams in a big way. Using a unique combination of quantum science, metaphysics, spirituality, neurohacking, and pure soul-powered wisdom, Bryna bridges the gap between knowing your truth and living your truth. She'll show you how to be the change in every area of your life so you can live and create without limits and change the world from the inside out. Watch Bryna's free 7-part masterclass for manifestors, How to Create Everything You Want, at chooseyourevolution.blog.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Nancy Rhines, and we've been talking about her experience, her near-death experience, and the lessons learned and the shift within her and the ripple effect that her sharing her message is having in the world. So, Nancy, I love to ask my guests, are there some things in our last segment, some tips, tools, or any piece of wisdom that we can talk about in the last segment that you can provide our listeners with that they can incorporate into their lives?
Yeah, there are some super easy things that can get you started, or they may actually be very profound, but yet still very, you know, simple to implement. One of the things that I saw in my own life is that I was very controlling with every little thing that happened, and I wanted things to happen on my schedule and at my, you know, on my timing. So I came across a technique called, some people call it the God jar, and it helps me to let go of my need to have a certain thing happen. When you let go or unattach from like the need to have a certain outcome or a certain timing, what that does is it opens up a space for that universal wisdom or divine wisdom to work its way into your life and give you, lead you down the right path, bring you a better outcome, whatever. But it's first of all learning to let go of that control that we think we have over every little thing in our lives. So this is a technique. What you do is you just get some kind of a container. It can be a beautiful vase or a pottery jar, whatever you like, and clean it up, you know, wash it out. You can bless it with, if you want, with essential oils. I like to use frankincense just because I like the smell of it.
My favorite one.
I love the smell of it. Oh, and then just set it aside and deem it your God jar or your spirit jar, whatever you want to call it. What you do is take a little piece of paper and write down something that you want the universe to handle for you. Or you can write down a question that you have that you would like the universe or spirit to help you get an answer for. So anything that you need help with, you write down that question or that statement or that desire on the piece of paper, fold it up. I usually, you know, say a little prayer of thank you. Just, you know, thanks for listening to my request. And I put it in the jar as I'm walking out the door to go do something else. I put that request in the jar, and then I get back to my life, and I know that in that moment, I know that the universe or divine spirit is working on whatever it is that I put in there, and I can release the stressors around me needing to make that thing happen or me needing to get that answer.
And I love it because it's an energetic letting go instead of sometimes, and I was that way at one time. You hold on so tight to what you want to happen that you're not really living your life or in the moment or in joy because you are holding so tight trying to force something. And this is like opening your hands up, releasing, and you can actually feel the energy leaving your body. And you're saying, I believe.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want to say this. I used to go, okay, and it better come back in the way that I want it to. Right? So for me, it was, I always add for the highest and best for all involved. Because in other words, maybe the divine has something bigger and better for me than that one little thing that I think I want. So if we're tied that it has to be that outcome, that's still control. That one took me a while. Like, all right, so I guess I have to really let go. Did you experience that also at the beginning when you were using this process?
I did, and I did learn to use for the best and highest good. Or it did probably take me a good 6-8 months of using this process before I realized that just the physical act of opening my hand to put the request in the jar was my act of letting go. I needed to have that physical sensation, not only of knowing that, you know, spirit, divine wisdom was going to handle that, but to make that a part of my bodily being, that I knew, oh, deep inside of every cell, I knew, okay, I'm letting this thing go. The thing is that if you hold on to that stuff too much, whether it's just letting it rattle around in your head or saying, look, I need to have a certain outcome, there's an element of fear involved in that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You're attached to the fear of, well, geez, what happens if it doesn't happen the way that I think it should? Well, maybe God knows better than you do. Maybe there's
exactly.
a bigger plan in all of this. And releasing whatever this is into this jar, it seems trivial, but you're also in time learning to release the fear associated with whatever that thing is that you're putting in there. And it can be very powerful. It really can.
Oh, I know it to be because I've gone through the process myself, and it's freeing. Right? And it's freeing to, like, as you said, I like the physical, too, of opening my hand, putting it in the jar. I use a vase, a pottery, piece of pottery that someone gave me many years ago that means a lot to me. And I need that physical aspect to make it real, right? So you've shared some wonderful tips. We have another 45 seconds or so. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with that they can take into their day, into their lives, aside from that beautiful process?
Yeah, the other thing that I would encourage people to do is just to take time for themselves, even if it's just a few minutes a day, to either sit in silence or sit and appreciate a flower or your kids. Take some time to just be in whatever way that is for you, whatever works best for you. Allow yourself to focus in on some beautiful music, take a bath, but allow some time to just be you at the spiritual level and allow spirit to kind of come into your life in a quiet way. I can't stress enough how much it's helped me to just spend a few minutes in just a quiet, relaxed state every day.
That's so beautiful. And you can feel the energy. It's like you're dropping into your body and into your heart instead of your head.
Yeah, it allows that heart voice to really make itself known when you can allow yourself to have just a few moments of quiet in a day.
Exactly, and it's important in my life. I have to have that. Where I spent the, I'm 56, I probably spent the first, well, if I'm honest, 35, 40 years of my life, 100 miles an hour because I never wanted to feel.
Yeah.
I had a, you know, I wanted to build my businesses, and I was running from myself, from my truth, and it wasn't until I healed all that, and now, to my family, it's like, they can't believe I love to be alone. I'm more of a hermit now because I love the I want the contemplation time. So for me, for those who knew me back then and who know me now, it's a night and day difference. I can't give up my time of just being alone because, as you said, that's when we're aligned and tapped in. So thank you for sharing that. And I want to thank you, Nancy, for joining me today. And I want to invite everyone to visit nancyrines.com, and that's R-Y-N-E-S.com. Learn more about the work she's doing in the world, events, workshops, and to order her book, Awakenings from the Light, 12 Life Lessons from a Near-Death Experience. Thank you again, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
And everyone, I hope to see you here every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on Inspired Conversations. You can also catch the replays on iTunes and other podcast directories. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.